Thank you so much, Justine. That was beautiful. And the beauty that resonates in Justine just giving her heart over to God in that beautiful song. You know, all of us have that same the God inside of us that stirs our hearts and, you know, just loves on us. And, you know, as we go through, you know, the things that we're going through today, I just wanted to, before Sean comes up and says a word, I just wanted to just really open up in prayer, open up our hearts and our ears to hear, because I know that God's got something really special for us today. So Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for allowing us just to be together today to worship you. I thank you so much for the worship leaders and those that sang in worship today. It was such a beautiful melody, lifting up your name and your love, God. We just thank you for that. We love you. We ask that our hearts and our ears be open to you, that we can hear your word. And we just love you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. And without further ado, Ms. Sharon. Sean.
Good morning. As usual, when I come home for the weekend, you would think I'd be able to sleep in my own bed in my own house. And I think it was 4:10 this morning was the last time I looked at the clock. And so today, my voice is weak, and if you hear me cough, I'm fine. I have allergies. When Jackie asked me if I would consider speaking, she said the theme of today was back to the basics. And I was not smart enough to ask her what she felt that might mean, but I ran with that theme and have pondered, written, rewrote, threw away, started again. I prayed this whole time, Lord, what is it that you want me to speak today? I want it to be your will, your words, not mine. And I wasn't getting anything. Well, I thought I wasn't getting anything. So, since I'm a teacher and not a preacher, there will be time for active involvement if you so desire. Don't be afraid to answer any question or laugh or, you know, I know as Pentecostal, this church, we're not real big on hallelujah, amen, and preach it, Rabbi. We are a little more quiet than that, but maybe today we won't be. Thanks, Barry. So my first question to you is, when I say back to the basics, back to basic, what does that stir up in you? What comes to your mind? What's settled in your heart? Back to the basic, especially during this time that we're living in, unprecedented. We have never seen our country or our lives in a situation like we have this year. I was so excited. I'll get back to the question. Don't think you got off the hook. I was so excited for 2020 because the first time and only time in my life, my birth date was 2/20/2020. I thought it was really cool. Well, that was short-lived, but I will say that I do believe that we're in a little bubble here in southwestern Pennsylvania. When you talk to people who live in other states, family people, things are really, our lives changed, but not like the lives that have changed for people across this country and across this world. So back to the question. What does that mean to you? Back to the basics. God first. Love God, love people. Henry?
To me, it means that it doesn't matter what religion you are or what color you are, you just gotta get back to loving each other as Jesus loved us. And if people would do that, there'd be none of this crap going on.
Amen. And that is basically what I kept coming back to is what most of you have said, like, as the body of Christ, now is the time for us to step up and not be silenced. One of the sins of God's kids, I believe, has been silence for so long. We know things that are wrong, that are unfair, unjust, and we've waited for someone else to take care of it. We need to become part of the solution and not part of the problem. And I know you've probably heard that so many times. So today, what we're going to look at is how do we go about doing that? How do we go about love people, love God, as we've been told? Because someday all of us are going to stand before the King, and we're going to have to answer for everything we did and didn't do. Not as, you know, I know we're forgiven, but I don't want to ever get home and have Father ask me, why did you not speak out about that? Why didn't you love? So my version of Back to the Basics, as I defined it, is three parts: prayer, action, and prepare. Prayer, action, and prepare. We want our lives back. We often hear people say, I want things back to normal. But do we really want things back to normal? Maybe we should be saying, I want things to be better, because we have a lot of wrong, a lot of stuff that is wrong in this country today. And that's why I believe that as Christians, not that we're superior, not that we know more, but we have weapons at our disposal that are supernatural and work in a realm that is unseen but is so active in our world today. We know that putting on our armor, being in the Word, praying collectively, has great power behind it. I see faces in this room who can stand and testify about the miraculous supernatural healing of Jesus or the safety that he has provided. One thing that comes to mind on a personal note is I have a niece that's 35. She is the love of my life, the only girl out of 9 boys in our family. I've spoiled her. She's not made good decisions all her life, and they've cost her dearly. And the other day, I took her to the dentist. She had to have some pretty major surgery. And while I was listening to her speaking to the anesthesiologist through her mask, she relayed, and something I had not really known, she relayed to this anesthesiologist that she was off all meds. And he looked at her and he said, what do you mean? She said, I took myself off them. Her medication was for depression, bipolar depression, and anxiety disorder. It caused her to gain huge amounts of weight, lose it. She was starting to show physical symptoms of what we thought was maybe MS. My mom and I have been praying over her every morning for 3 years because we were given a sound mind by the Father. And we've been praying that scripture back over her for years. And it finally dawned on me, like last Friday, you're a walking miracle. She's still not on a walk yet, but he is in the background doing things that she cannot deny. She was able to go off 3 medications without side effects, without complications. And if anyone knows about the medication, you really just can't do that. No doctor supervision. I've never, in the last 10 years, have not known her to think so clearly. So the power that we know as kids of the kingdom is something that we need to start to use collectively to save this nation and life as we know it. But let's pray to make it better. So the first part of my Back to Basics is prayer, intercessory prayer. Show of hands, how many of you get the IFA, Intercessors for America, through your email? Nobody. I know Diane does and Cassie. I'll be giving you the address later on. You might want to sign up for it, because every few days, intercessory prayers come through that you can join and in one accord pray in agreement with for all kinds of situations going on in the world and in this country today. So, prayer. Why pray? If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and heal their land. And that's found in 2 Chronicles 7:14. It has become a motto of so many people during this season that we're in. Sorry about the emotions. I used to really, until I turned 60, be so proud that I was British and could keep those emotions in control. I just don't know what's going on anymore. I cried everything, even commercials. Yesterday, Vice President Mike Pence, and I am not going to be political. This is not about politics. But I do want to bring attention to this. We have a vice president who right now is praying for this country, and he's expressing that publicly. Personally, I really appreciate that, because I think we can all agree we're in trouble. We're at a turning point, and we're at a crossroads where we can go either way, and things may get really ugly. But what he said was, he quoted this scripture, and he brought up the fact that during times of crisis in this country, we had praying presidents. We had people that were on their knees for this nation. And not to make it a big history lesson, but we were a British colony. We had the thoughts of a revolution to take this country as a free nation with religious freedoms and break away from the oppression of England. Mike Pence quoted writings that said that George Washington, our first president, dropped to his knees in earnest, sincere prayer. And this was at the time of the revolution. We were a very poor group of colonists against a major power. He also talked about Abraham Lincoln and how he wrote in his journals that he was often driven to his knees because there was no other recourse that he could see. We, as followers of Christ, need to take our knee and pray for the safety and the strength of this nation to come through this period of time. Jesus prayed. That's probably the best reason why we should. In fact, Bible Gateway, when I was looking it up, said that in the New Testament, it tells us 26 different times that Jesus prayed. He prayed over children. He prayed in Gethsemane. He prayed in the early morning in solitary places. He prayed after he was baptized. He prayed on the mountain. He prayed all night. Luke 11:1, he taught his disciples to pray. Luke 18:1, he told the disciples to pray and not give up. He prayed over and for his disciples, and he prayed for all believers, and that's found in John 17. The entire chapter, if you go back and read it, it's just a beautiful chapter about praying and loving. Let me check my notes, and I'm old school. I write notes on legal paper with pencil. I was so afraid I would get it on my phone and get up here, I'd get home. My laptop is 12 years old. I can't find a new one because, you know, with people working at home and kids at school, they're just nowhere. And I was like, I'm going to do this on my old computer, take it home, and my printer won't work. So I stayed old school. In Ephesians 6, one of my favorites, 10, verses 10 through 18, Paul teaches us to dress for battle. The helmet of salvation. Can you just see that in your mind? Putting that big, beautiful, and I know because he was in prison and the Roman soldiers were his viewpoint, but putting on that huge helmet of salvation that Jesus died for and the breastplate of righteousness, because we're not righteous only through his blood and through his sacrifice, are we? Putting on the belt of truth. The belt of truth. And we need to know the truth by knowing his word. And putting on our feet the shoes of the gospel of peace. And holding the sword of the Spirit, which is the only offensive part of Paul's prayer. This is the only one that calls for action. And then holding up our shield of faith, which is faith in what we know as the word of God. In the study Bible I had, I thought this was pretty cool, that scholars, when they look at the armor of God imagery that we're to dress in when we pray, and we should dress it in every day, and I know there are days when I don't, and there are not good days sometimes. Did you ever find that? Especially if you're in a situation at work or at home or at school and you don't dress in your armor, things just don't go well because you're not being protected. Scholars have noted two details in this armor of God. Only the sword of the Spirit is an offensive weapon, and all the rest are used to defense. Helmet, chest plate, that's all defense to protect you. And no armor will protect the back or the rear. When Paul described putting on the armor of God, he made no provision for running away from spiritual battles. And that brings us up to where we are in America today, and really across the world. We're seeing a force that to be reckoned with. We're seeing a force that is darkness and not light. We're seeing that we are in a spiritual battle. And I think we can all agree that, yeah, we are in a spiritual battle. We're not fighting against people. We're fighting about spiritual battles that have been released in America. I know if you read some of the websites with teachings and pastors and evangelists and scholars, they're talking about the spirit of Jezebel that has been released, they believe released in Washington, D.C. And if you don't know, Washington, D.C. Even wants to try and remove themselves and become the 51st state. They want to be a state of their own. The spirit of chaos has been released in this country. We see it in the way that we treat each other. We see it in riots and looting, and we see it in no one being able to respectfully agree to disagree. We scream at each other, and no one gets anywhere. It's like watching a hamster on a wheel just going around and around and around and around. We're not debating. We're demanding that you think the way that I want you to think, because that's how I think, and there's no middle ground. I don't believe that the power that we have in prayer should be demeaned to that level where we can pray and then go out and act another way. So the second part is action. In Matthew 4, we learn that Jesus fasted for 40 days. I think the greatest part of our prayer life is action that's put in place with it, and that is fasting. There are all kinds of fasting opportunities between now and November 3rd. And I know some of you know who Jonathan Shuttlesworth is. He is asking people if they so desire to join him for a 40-day fast from sunrise to sunset for 40 days until the day of the election. to pray for the nation, to pray that Father's will would be done, to pray for our loved ones who are lost, to pray for the division in our country, the great divide in our country because of all kinds of things, just not racial division, but political division, economic division, the people who have this opinion and that opinion. And Justine and I were talking earlier, it has birthed something in this country. And ladies, it's very disheartening to know that so many women are becoming Karens. My poor sister, her name is Karen. She finds that very deplorable to be, you know, designated or involved in that. But we're seeing people doing things out of great fear and lack of knowledge. So not only should our action be prayer and fasting, but we need to educate ourselves and research. Please stop reading Facebook and the other social media posts and believing that that is factual truth. We're having a very hard time in this country finding news agencies that are trustworthy. I think it's easy to say that most of us are distrustful of what we're being told. And here in southwestern Pennsylvania, we are really in a bubble. Our family traveled Labor Day weekend to Erie. And the difference, just that short distance. And we have family in Philadelphia. And just across the state, things are very different. We've been very lucky. I think in this area, we have more common ground. I have seen less, and I may be the one in the bubble, I have seen less opposition to each other than what I know family has reported or what they have personally witnessed. But the great divide has to be changed through conversation, agreeing to disagree, being respectful and kind, realizing that unless you have educated yourself and can speak about an issue, that maybe we shouldn't be speaking out about it, because we don't know what someone else has gone through. We don't know how someone else has been treated. We don't know those kind of things. And when I was telling you about my niece, I saw the prejudice happen against her, the way she was treated at the doctor, because her medical card is welfare. And because she needed some teeth pulled, immediately it was assumed that, oh, she's on welfare and she's probably doing drugs, which she's never done in her life. She just, as a kid and a teenager, we could never get her to brush her teeth because we didn't know she had sensitive teeth and it was easier to chew gum. But it was terrible how the doctor treated her, and my mother instinct kicked in, and to say the least, I was very respectful, but I stood up for her in a very respectful and daughter of the king way, and I didn't know that her biological mom got word of how she was treated, and the next day called the doctor's office and gave them a real piece of her mind and used words like suing you and I'm coming in there. And when she did develop an infection and thrush, and we had to go back, and she asked me to go with her. And, you know, behind your mask, we don't know who you are. That's one of the scary things about the masks. Even though we know that we're trying to keep other people safe and each other safe, but we don't know who you are. So I walk in, and almost immediately I could feel it in the air, and I knew within seconds, they think I'm Tammy. They think I'm Karen. And boy, she was in there for half an hour, almost 40 minutes. What had happened is they fitted her for denture, temporary denture, and it was not a good fit, and she was in terrible pain. So she was given the time and the respect and the honor because they thought I was there to make sure. And we didn't say a word. And when we walked out, I looked at her and she said, "They think you're my mom." So there are all kinds of prejudice going on in this country. We need to heal each other's hearts. And again, we need to find ways to be part of the problem. I mean, part of the solution and not the problem. My goodness. Love is not a feeling, it is an action. And that you can read in Matthew 5, 43-48. We choose to love. It doesn't have to be a heart thing. It doesn't have to be a head thing. We choose to love. We choose to love people who are not the same color we are, who are not the same political party that we're in, who are not the same lifestyle. We have to make that choice. We're told to make that choice. Now, I've heard people in my family say, "Well, you're supporting something we don't support." We're not talking about support. We're talking about an action, talking about loving someone. Spend time in the Word every day and make an effort to make that choice to love and watch things become very, very different. And I'm not saying that's going to be easy. So, in action, we have prayer and fasting, educate and research, agree to disagree, be respectful and kind, choose to love, spend time in the Word, and the last part of action is be still. That's an oxymoron, but you know what we're talking about. Be still and wait for the Lord's presence to come to you and guide you and direct you. There is nothing wrong with peaceful protest. As Christians, we need to start speaking up for biblical values and things that we know are not of the Lord. But there are other actions that we can take too. Prayer groups. Anyone here involved in a prayer group? I see one hand. Well, my mom and I are a prayer group every morning. We had a little list and we've had to go to Legal Pad. It takes anywhere from a half an hour. Sometimes I know when she thinks I'm being too wordy because she does this. So now it's time to wrap it up. Because I can get wordy. But try to join a prayer group. Maybe the Lord is calling you to start one. Maybe it's just over the phone. Maybe it's texting with each other. But we know that the Word says when two or more are gathered, there's power in that prayer. I do encourage you to check out Intercessors for America, IFA. And this is the website because we're talking about action. Ready? IFAPRAY.org/blog/. Or Google it and say Intercessors for America. But it will come in as an email almost every other day with various prayers by intercessors. There is and you can join the Intercessors for America as a group also. Another thing that is happening is praying at polling places. How many of you know pray at the poll for the school kids? There is a husband and wife team. The wife, this was birthed in her through the Holy Spirit, is to pray at polling places before elections. And that's for peace and for safety. And not to draw big attention. We know that there, because of this election year, that there's division and there's opposition. So it's best to be smart and go in small groups. But what they suggest is that you contact your county. You find out where the polling places are to be open. And you go ahead of time. Not the day of, but a couple days before. And this is what they are suggesting that you pray for. That there will be no threats or intimidation. that the process will not be hindered in person or by mail, that polling places will not be closed down, that there will be enough volunteers so the polling place can remain open on election day, that there'll be no malfunctions of machines, no Florida tabs, do you remember that? No corruption or theft of votes, whether in person, I said that. And if it does happen, if there is on any side corruption or theft of voting, that it's exposed before it happens, and voting can be as safe and as fair as possible. We don't even know, quite honestly, if all this rhetoric that we hear from both sides of this election process is really what's going on or happening. But we need to use our weapons of prayer and fasting and the action of prayer to stop it before it starts. Another thing that we can do as an action is pray in unity. This is an organization that is beginning a 40-day fast beginning September the 25th until Election Day. Prayer in unity. You can Google it. You can, you know, type it in. It is an it's a movement, an organization that's praying for election. I talked to you about Jonathan Shuttlesworth. His fast starts today, and his fasting is from sunrise to sunset, and it goes until the election. And then finally, organize a prayer group for a prayer walk in your neighborhood, your school, your workplace. And I want to give kudos to the ladies who went yesterday and prayed in Washington. And I believe that was Renee and Justine and Amanda and Penny and Robin and Wanda. And thank you for that. And that's an inspiration. So it's showing that, you know, even just small things are action. And the last part of action is we really need to repent for self and for a nation like Daniel did for Judah. We need to confess our sins individually and the sins of our nation to be cleansed. 1 John 1:9. And again, as I said before, silence on our part, I think, is just as big a sin as so many of the others. Part 3, prepare. I hope I'm making sense. Okay, because I'm all over the place in my head. How do we prepare for what's happening? We know this year, because it's an election year, because of COVID, because of our national division with all kinds, race, religion, all kinds of things are dividing us. We know that this is an important year, and this election is important. So how do we be prepared? We be watchful. Matthew 25, 1 through 12 tells us to be prepared and watchful. And originally, I was going to read all these scriptures out loud, and it was almost an hour and 10 minutes. So I gave you a break. In Daniel 7:25, the enemy will attempt to, it tells us, the enemy will attempt to make us weary and stop doing our work, which is praying and fasting, and speaking up for what our values are. We need to stay in the Word and spend time in His presence. We need to forgive who you need to forgive to be forgiven. When I was going through that, that popped up so often. We need to forgive. We need to be forgiven. And this nation needs to be forgiven. With tensions so high, especially now with the death of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, we're seeing sort of like a paranoia, a panic, an anxiety attack in this nation. We have to be careful with what we wish for. We have to really submit to the will of the Father God, because we know as a body of Christ, one of two things will happen. We will either have a government that puts God at the head, or we will have a government that they are the head. We have to be, and I'm not trying to be political, I'm just looking at it as with open eyes. We have to be very, very careful that we ask ourselves questions like, am I voting for this person because I don't like the other person? I had a wonderful friend, very educated, very much a daughter of the king, and I'll never forget during the George W. Bush elections, we were just talking, and she says, oh, I never would vote for him. He's ugly. He doesn't even look like a president. And that was her reasoning for voting. We can't do that anymore. You know, we had a big chuckle about that, but we have to look at what they stand for, and does it line up biblically? That's the biggest responsibility under prepare, is privilege cannot be separated from responsibility. Privilege as sons and daughters of the kingdom doesn't make us superior, but it carries with it a heavy responsibility, because we will stand before the king someday. We can't be wishy-washy, lukewarm, politically correct, worrying about hurting people's feelings. Because you can speak truth in love. I'm going to say that again. We can speak truth in love. Not demean another person. Not disvalue their opinion. But when you speak it in love, you might open up eyes, open up ears. In fact, if you ever have to have a conversation with someone, you need to pray that ahead of time. Put that armor on and pray ahead of time. Lord, speak through me. Let me speak in love. And please prepare their heart and mind to hear what you're saying. Give them spiritual eyes to see and hear. And I think if we start doing that as a practice, like putting your shoes on, it should be that much of a habit, although I see some of you don't wear shoes here, but just kidding. We need it to be such a habit that it's a part of our life and a way of life, so that we can start to, as the church, show the way to close the division and really truly be one nation under God. And a little footnote about that. The Pledge of Allegiance was written in 1813 by a socialist minister. That's sort of like his purpose was so that every country could just insert the name of your country here. When World War II had ended, Governor Eisenhower impressed upon the Congress to add one nation under God, because the Cold War was a big threat. So in our pledge, it became one nation under God. And just so that you know, it's written like this, comma, one nation under God, comma. It is not one nation under God. The premise in the 1950s and from the beginning of this country, when God birthed this nation through our founding fathers, was one nation under God, Yahweh. And people of all colors, creeds, can come together under that umbrella. And we shouldn't think that in America that other religions cannot exist. We want them to know Christ and have eternity. But I heard a story on the 700 Club the other day that I cannot shake. And it was about what's going on in India. They want the government wants the country to become Hindu. Men hijacked a bus full of Muslim men, women, and children. They pulled the women off the bus and they raped them in the street in front of husbands and fathers and uncles. And then they poured gasoline on them and set them on fire and made the men watch. And then they killed the men. We are the last nation on this earth where those kind of things cannot happen. And we have to keep it that way. The privilege of being a son or a daughter of the Most High God, Yahweh, carries that responsibility of making sure that America stays one nation under God with liberty and justice for all. We have to bridge the gap with our citizens, and we have to be the city on the hill, the light in the darkness for those nations that are looking to us for a way to govern and live and rule. Because we're the last one. We're the last stronghold. And we're not doing a very good job. We've got to stand up and get this country back. And it doesn't mean violence. We know what our weapons are. Prayer. Fasting. Educating ourselves. Voting. And being prepared. Because in this election, one of two things will happen. The king is coming back. We need to be prepared. You need to make sure, as they say, all your ducks are in a row. If there's someone you have to forgive, forgive them. If there's someone you need to ask forgiveness, ask forgiveness. Get in the word. Every day. That's one of the things, back to basic, that's one of the things so many people reported when I asked them. They finally had time to sit down and really read the word, to praise, to worship, to be in his presence. And that's one of the sermons. Well, these aren't sermons. That's one of the talks I had. And I thought, I'm preaching to the choir. So I had to keep trying to come up with something different, and I really believe that this is what Father put into my heart. Another thing, I wrote like 20 pages, and another thing was I was giving the history of coronavirus and, you know, all the problems that have ensued since. And I was like, we're living it. They don't want to hear what they've just lived through. So, the last thing, I want you to brainstorm with me. I want us to talk about the things that you are praying for right now. I want you to express them out loud to make sure that we're all covering the same prayer in agreement and in one accord. So take a minute and think, yeah, this is what I've been praying daily or weekly, or this is what I want to pray. And then I'd like to hear your prayers. This is the time people don't like because it's quiet. I'm sorry? God's will for America. Beautiful. Good one. How many of you are praying that? We know he has a plan. He's either going to save us, or he's coming back. There isn't, you know, and we might be entering a time of tribulation. And depending on your eschatology, pre, mid, post, rapture, or Jesus coming back to reign 1,000 years, something is happening in the heavenlies because so much is happening down here that something has to give. So he's either heard our cries and we get a reprieve or not. And One, and because you said that, Eileen, I want to add this as a suggestion to you, because my mom and I are praying. We're praying for the next, not only the president that will be voted in November, we're praying for the next president 4 years from now. And 4 more years after that. Our country's not going to be fixed by anyone in 4 years. Not by anyone. And another thing that I'm going to add, that because of my occupation, I want you all to, if you would buy into this suggestion, start praying for your school boards, your curriculum directors, because the enemy attack, seen and unseen, is on our kids. The things they are being taught in school are not what you're teaching them in your household. Check into it. There's propaganda and agenda, and we know it's at the college level. We know so many Christian kids, good kids, not just because they're Christians, but good kids go to college and they come back and they're totally different. Their thoughts are totally different. Only the grounded child in college, because you're still a child. I don't care if you're 21. I thought I was so adult-like at that age. My dad showed me the way back. It wasn't pretty, but he had every right to, because I knew more than everyone in the world. That's that age group, and that's the college thing. I have a dear uncle. He died on my birthday this year. Loved the man. He was an artist and an art professor, and he was very much a liberal. And his brother, who lives in California, my dad's next to the youngest brother, had been witnessing to him and witnessing to him. And when he was diagnosed with dementia and not giving a very good prognosis, obviously, my uncle reached out again, and my uncle Phil said, well, I'll flip the coin. Because he had been under the propaganda himself from all the years of education. He was Dr. James, PhD in the arts, and hopefully something happened before he left this world. So there is a lot on our plates. I don't know about you, but there's a lot going on. And the last thing I would like to say, I hope I've finished all my thoughts. I pray peace over you, that the faith that, by the way, is in Greek both a noun and a verb, action, that the faith you have in Yahweh will keep you calm, give you peace, give you strength, and give you the ability to have hope and see a future. And that wraps it up for me. Thank you for listening. I hope I made sense. Oh, I guess I didn't finish just one section. You can stand up here and keep. We were talking about a prayer list. I swear, the ladies that are like I don't swear. My mic's out. Yeah, it's like at the awards ceremony. When the music comes on, you're done. Did I shut it off? Okay, I'll just use my teacher voice. There it is. Okay, what I was trying to finish with was you giving your prayer, what you are praying for, and I completely just went off on track. So would anyone like to add? I know we're all praying for COVID. We're praying for treatment and a vaccine. My personal preference is treatment first, vaccine much, much later, so it's safe. We're praying for the, I see all your hands, keep them up. I know we're all praying for the people that have been affected, those people that have died, those people who are at high risk. We know it's a very survivable virus if you're not at high risk. And some people don't even know they are. I know that we're praying for the research that's going on around the world because of this virus. So what else, Miss Jackie?
My prayers for not just this church, for all the churches, to be filled in capacity beyond this virus, that we can worship the Lord and sing as loud as we want, to sit in the pews wherever we want, but also for the people that don't even come to church or used to come to church, that will be brought back to the Lord.
Yeah.
A desperate need for people, and if it takes this virus to do that,
yes, that was very good. Did you all hear her? No, she's praying for churches to be filled to capacity. You can sit in any pew you want. We are allowed to sing loud and proud in worship. I do know personally of a church where they're still only allowed to sing whisper songs, whisper praise. That this virus will bring the lukewarm, those who have veered off the path, those who are lost, those who have forgotten their first love, back into fellowship, back into praise and worship. That's a great one. I know a lot of people have that one. I've heard so many people say, I miss September 12th, 2001. Because what happened in this country the day after the terrorist attacks? People were running to churches. They were running to churches. And because the churches were closed during COVID, we had to be the church. And I think the church did a good job by using social media and going online. It just was not, the church shut down and there was no talk of God in America. Justine and Ray did a great job with worship online. And I know people that spent the entire Sunday morning cable preachers, cable TV preachers, and really learn things, which was good. Any other hands? I know I saw a bunch of them. Justine.
Thank you. This is really on my heart so much just because of an encounter that I had the other day with a woman who she wants what's right. She wants what's good. She has the wrong idea about that. And she's hurting from choices that she's made. And I don't think she even realizes she's hurting from them, but she thinks it's okay. She thinks pro-choice is okay. She had one. It was a medical issue. But it sounded to me like she's hurting. And not just with that situation, but just the mindset of people who don't know any better. And they believe they're doing the right thing, that their hearts would be turned and they would see the truth.
And that's why I encourage you during the action, please research and read. Know what you're supporting. Don't do it blindly. Don't do it on an emotion.
I forgot something. But that also, while I was sitting there listening to her talk, God laid on my heart, don't say anything about it. Because I was going to be like, well, you know, that's, you know, don't say anything. Just listen. We just have to love and listen. Not always argue and be like, well, you're wrong. Just listen.
Oh, that's really good. That's a good lesson. I'm going to write that down. I have a hard time with that. Although I'm not, because I'm taking care of my mom, like I'm in the house. So I don't get to get out and have to debate. And I do want to say one thing. I know it's getting late, but one of the best things that happened during COVID, my neighborhood, where I live, people walk all the time, but now they're in droves, and it's morning, noon, and night with their pets, with dads carrying the trike, the little, what's that called, three-wheel little tricycle, and the kid, because they've gone too far, but, and they're talking to you, they just don't go, I'm going to quit waving my arm. They're talking and they're interested in what's going on. And in my townhouse unit, there are 7 homes. 4 of us are like, we can't wait for Friday or Saturday, and we meet on the deck. We're going to have a progressive deck party because people are finally I didn't even know these people. People were hiding in their house. There's one guy that lives in my unit that I didn't even know. I knew his name was Kevin, never saw him for 4 years. He's out all the time now. So that was a positive. Who else is praying something that you would like to share and we join you?
I was just going to say the military and the police.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very much so. Anybody else?
For our unsaved loved ones and for our teens, 20s, and I pray for my children, my grandchildren, and my great-granddaughter.
Good one. Anyone else?
I pray that people start reading the Bibles. It's just like I've been real heavy into the book of John, okay? And if you read John, okay, chapter 1:1-5, okay? And it says Jesus brought everything into this earth, okay, and called each and every one of us and created each everything, okay? And the thing is, he made everything for his own glory and honor. And we're all part of that. And nothing was made without him. And he is the Word. And also, you talked about the sword. Okay, the sword is also the Word. And it talks about the double-edged sword. Okay, well, that's a representation of the Old Testament and the New Testament. So if you take this sword and you swing it back and forth, okay, it's not only verifying what was said prior, okay, and that what is now and what's going to be. So it's just like, that's the Word, okay, and it's very, very powerful. So if you get into the Bible and read it, you'll learn the Lord and his ways and see what's happening for now and with the future and what Lord wants to show us. And every day he shows me something new. So just get into the book and read it yourself, because he wants to show you personally certain things and grow with you. And I just pray that everybody will do that in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you. Good.
I pray that the Lord will take the scales off people's eyes today, the ones that believe what they see every day on the regular news media, which is not anywhere near what's really going on. And I also pray every day for physical, mental protection for President Trump and Vice President Pence, for their immediate and extended families, because this man has been put to the test where I have never seen another individual criticized and demonized like this man has been, and it's only through the grace of God that he's been able to withstand it and do the things for our country that he has done while all this has been going on. So we need to keep him, his mind, his heart, a hedge of protection around him from the Lord.
Amen.
To piggyback off of Justine, I just want to pray for every single person's heart, for those that are light to shine brighter, and for those that are dark to turn towards God. And then those that are having spiraling, toxic thoughts, to remember the most important thing, that you have a choice. And you talked about choices. You have a choice in how you respond.
Anybody else?
Like this whole season, it's been about relationship and our relationship with God and it being personal. getting into the Word and learning who He really is. And when we express the love of God, that we're expressing the love of God in all the things that God does and He does for us, that even if it's judgment, He's doing it because He loves us. He loved us before we were in our mother's wombs. That was like the pivotal moment for me, was knowing that before I was even created in my mother's womb, He loved me. And that's what I pray for other folks, that they know that true personal love of God. You know, people just are so untrusting. You know, they can't trust each other. How can you trust somebody that you don't even know? And that's a hard thought. That's a hard thought. But anyway, that's what I pray.
Anybody else? Boy, the back of the room's really...
I just want to thank God for the light that's being shined in the sex trafficking area. And that is one of my prayers, that the light continue to be opened up so that we might find those spots and bring those children back to their parents, and that the homes that they go back to or wherever that is, that is a light and a healing process and a loving area for them.
Oh, yes, yes. Show of hands, I bet a lot of us are praying for that. So much is being exposed during this time. In our bubble, we don't, because it doesn't affect us, we never even thought about it. Thank you.
Okay, this is the last Sunday before I have my surgery on Tuesday to have George taken out of my body and the tumor. I just want to take the time that being a loner by nature, this church family is amazing. And I want to thank Jackie for her mother, Lee. If it wasn't for Lee giving me that kiss every week. And my son, Michael, like the candy man. He said, "Pap, what kind of candy will he have?" So this church has been a big support for me. And if I don't make it, which I'm sure I'm going to be fine, I hope somebody will step up and bring my three little monkeys to church, because they really enjoy being here. That's it. Shalom.
And when we're done, if you want to stay and lay hands and pray over Henry, we'll do that at the end. Is there anyone else? There's something that's really been on your heart that you're praying about. I had like 27 things and I know most of us are all praying the same thing. We got one more. Good thing there's not a Steeler game on today. Or is there? There is. Oh, we got to go.
In my readings, I've read that, okay, prayer is very, very powerful. And I could sit here all day long and tell you the experiences I had through it. But fasting, okay, prayer is like dynamite going off. But fasting and praying is like an atomic bomb going off. So even if you just give up one meal or don't eat that candy bar, that's still a fasting, okay? Some people can't do a hard fast, okay? And because maybe they're under medications or something like that. But even the smallest little, not doing something like that will bring honor to the glory to the Lord.
Good point, Jim. Good point. Okay. Thank you for listening. I hope I wasn't the 65-year-old lady all over the place and thoughts don't connect or they just drop and you're like, where did that go? But thank you for listening. I pray that you have a wonderful week and that you have peace and comfort. Amen. And Henry, would you come up and we'll pray for you? And it was nice to have our visitors today. Good to see you. You've been here before? Oh, okay. I was probably not here. Thanks, Rico. Would anybody want to come up and we pray over Henry?